Good morning, River. So at about 3 minutes till 10, the power went off in our neighborhood. And very inconvenient, but still doesn't classify as tragedy. I mean, nobody's shooting at me. I've had plenty to eat today. So we'll just make do. Some of you are in low stress mode right now. Some are in very high stress mode. Some have financial and physical difficulties. Some of you don't. We're all in different circumstances. We have different personalities, perspectives, yet we are one church body together. And as a church, we want to live as good citizens, but we have dual citizenship. We're citizens of our community, our nation, and citizens of heaven. And so we want to work those dual citizenships together and look for opportunities embedded in this challenge. For introverts, social distancing doesn't really qualify as hardship. For extroverts, it's very painful. I was talking with my youngest daughter, Casey, who's an introvert, and we were driving around and on a Sunday night, last Sunday night, and everything was closed, the roads were empty. And I said, this reminds me of my childhood, where Wichita shut down at like 6 o'clock, except for church. And Casey said, well, I want to live then. For her, that pace sounds wonderful. For other people, maybe not so much. Other people are not so much bothered by the pace, but just by the threat. My daughter, Corey, because of her daughter, my granddaughter Nora's health situation, is more tuned to the threat than others might be, and I respect and admire for that. So there are a lot of perspectives and personalities and approaches to this time. So be generous, be kind, be full of grace to one another. It's okay if people think and feel differently. I spent Friday in Topeka at the State Emergency Operations Center, and civilian and National Guard authorities are working long hours to lead our state's response, and there were different groups of people working different issues in the same building. And some groups were in there not smiling at all. Some were joking and laughing. They were all working hard and doing their job. So which ones had it right? Like, how can you laugh at a time like this? And how can you thrive at a time like this if you don't laugh? Again, people do it differently. It's okay. But however God's wired you up, we have to choose the worship that brings wisdom. We can't fall into fear. We can't sing in the choir of complaining or join the fellowship of fear. We have to pursue faith. So we're going to pursue biblical hope during this time. And biblical hope is a real thing, but in terms of how we experience it, it's more of a discipline than just a feeling. It's a discipline, something that we practice. We practice hope, just like you don't just happen to play the piano or golf, you practice it. So biblical hope is more like that. It's a practice. And so let's jump into our message. I've joked with friends about writing a book called Two Dial Theology or The Two Dial Life, and using my analogy, I did have a great slide, so I'll be the slide. I'm an old radio, and I've got two dials, and you have to tune both dials properly in order to get music to play. And what we want is a single digital button where we can press a button and we don't have to deal with the need, the tension for balance. And we especially long for that simplicity of a single button during times of extra complexity like now. But in most areas of life, there are at least two dials that have to be tuned to live well. Some examples of phrases that describe this reality are grace and truth, passion and pace, parenting with love and logic. And the most important word in all these examples, and many more like them, is the word and. Take away the and you have this single dial. And without both dials, and you get static, not music. If you don't like the two-dial analogy, think about tensions. Like a guitar string has to be attached to the opposing ends and kept tight to play music and tune. Bridges have to be strong or connected at two sides. So for today, the two dials are wisdom and faith. And it's not wisdom or faith. Western civilization has created these false dichotomy or these splits, these either-or scenarios, when in fact reality in many ways is both and. So for instance, our society thinks it's faith or reason, it's faith or facts, it's faith or wisdom. The problem is that or should be an and. So don't be influenced by the or, stick with the more difficult and real and realistic word and, faith and reason, faith and wisdom. Faith and wisdom, the and makes them friends, the or makes them opponents. Faith and wisdom are always good friends. So don't overapply this. There are some either-or realities. So either Jesus is Lord or he's not. Either you're born again or you're not. But in the areas where we need to apply balance, we have to hold to the tensions. We have to keep hands on both dials. And during times of national and personal complexity, don't grasp for false simplicities, either or scenarios. The good path is going to be the path of balancing faith and wisdom. And so in line with our year in Proverbs, and there's that good word, and our current national, international crisis, let's tune in faith and wisdom. So put your hands mentally on both dials, and let's try to tune them in. We're going to focus on a single word in Proverbs today. The word is prudent. And prudent is a subset of wisdom. It's one of wisdom's applications or attributes. And if you remember, wisdom is more like skill than what we tend to think of it as. We tend to think of wisdom more as knowledge or being smart. But wisdom is a skill, to have the skill in living. To be skilled is the ability to do something well, like skill surviving in the wild or skill at a job or a craft. And wisdom means skill at life as God designed it. And so it begins with this awesome respect, fear of God. So go back to prudent. Prudent is a word that describes a person who has the ability to use reason and experience underneath the fear of God to navigate the problems and complexities of life. And so prudent in a real sense means keep your hands on both dials. Use reason, sound thinking, wisdom, and faith. Confidence in God. So prudent would allow you to say, what's happening here? How does this moment fit into the larger picture? What needs to happen next? What should I do? I think we could all use some prudence right now. And so prudence, going back to the, if you're around earlier in the year, the read, act model, read, not react, but read, act. Read is the ability to see what's really going on, and your act, the A, is the ability to take appropriate action. And so we have a lot of people who right now who are little R's and big A's. They're not really reading the situation appropriately, and they're taking action, making messes. Or they're big R's, little A's, they're reading appropriately, but they're not taking appropriate action either. And so what they do is they end up complaining. So lots of complaining, lots of maybe wrong actions being taken. But what we want to be is prudent. Prudent has a big R and a big A. You see what's going on, you take appropriate action. So let's work through some Proverbs. If you have your Bible, you can look. I'm going to jump around in a couple of verses. First one's going to be Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 and following. So first, prudence is a key component of wisdom. It's in the introduction of Proverbs twice. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple. So Proverbs are to make us wise. Part of that wisdom is this thing called prudence. And prudence considers a situation carefully before rushing in. Prudence thinks of the future before acting in the present. And so outside of its use in Proverbs, the Hebrew word is translated prudence here is translated in a negative connotation. Like for instance in Genesis 3, the serpent is tempting Adam and Eve, and it's said to be cunning, and that word cunning is the same word prudent. But words have meaning in their context. And so in that context, the cunning was to manipulate. The serpent had no fear of the Lord. And so that word that is prudent here was cunning or manipulative there. So if you take this good thing, single dial, all by itself is not good. If you add faith to this cunning, then you have prudence. So let's move on and take a look at what prudence looks like from different parts of Proverbs. Next place I'm going to go is Proverbs 13:16. It says, every prudent man or woman works with knowledge, but a fool flaunts folly. John Adams, our second president, famously said, facts are stubborn things, and whatever may be our wishes, our inclinations, or the dictates of our passion, they cannot alter the state of facts and evidence. So in Topeka Friday, I saw how valuable time and energy was being expended answering and dispelling all these rumors from around the state. And some people during times like this have, and other times as well, have too much confidence in their own ideas. They latch on to things that are not true and then become impervious to the truth. And so why would people do that? Well, it's a simple way to live. Once you find an idea that fits your personality or what you want to be true or feels right, you latch onto it. And so now I have no more need for two dials. I don't have to tune in faith and wisdom. I've got my fact. I can live more simply. The problem is that simplicity is not in line with reality. It's common to hold on to ideas that we find personally satisfying or convincing or comforting or fit into our own preconceived ideas, but this is not prudent. And what we need is to be open to what's actually factually true. And that requires at least two things: humble hearts and open ears, not just open mouths. It's difficult to separate fact from fiction in times like this, but humility and openness to others can be helpful in finding facts. Facts are always your friend, even when they don't seem friendly. Facts are never going to be in opposition to faith. Okay, the next thing, prudence has a long time horizon, while the fool is self-deceived by living only in the moment. Look at Proverbs 14:8. You probably can't get there fast enough, but you can look it up later, write it down. The wisdom of the prudent is to thoughtfully consider his way, but the folly of fools is deceiving. So wise people live now with the longer term in mind. People who have a short time horizon tend to make more foolish choices. So time horizon is how far into the future do you see in order to live today? So of course, the most wisdom, the most prudence would be to live with an eternal time horizon. The folly tends to ask, what will bring me relief today? What will bring me pleasure today? So folly is perpetually undone by the emotional chaos swirling around them in the moment. They're always trapped in the temporary. Folly is like a thermometer. It reflects the climate they're in. Prudence is a thermostat. It sets the climate of the room they're in. So the wise are prudent. They start with the eternal God, and then they see the temporary now. And this allows them to stabilize emotionally chaotic situations. You're seeing what's going on around you, but you see something bigger than that. So Thursday we prayed for awakening, and we want to pray for immediate needs, and we're doing lots of that right now, jobs and health, but we have to keep the big picture in mind as well. God has moved in mighty ways in the past, awakenings and revivals, and perhaps he'll do it again. And so we want to live fully in the moment, but not just for the moment. And so the prudent person decides now, right now, based on what is ultimately good and right. So you might say, that all sounds good, but it really doesn't help me make good decisions about practical things like, where do I find toilet paper? But this is really practical, because it resets your perspective to eternity, and that's enormously practical in helping you make good decisions right now and have good perspective. Okay, next, Proverbs 15:5. A fool despises his father's correction, discipline, but whoever heeds rebuke shows prudence. And so prudence, wisdom and faith and balance, they want to know the right way so as to walk it, even if it means enduring correction, while the fool just wants to be confirmed in what he or she believes already. So if you're feeling a bit nonchalant about this whole thing, you think it's overblown, and I talked to a guy in Topeka who thinks it is, or you think the people are absolutely not taking this seriously, people are being utter fools, putting you and others at risk, who's right? The person who's nonchalant, the person who thinks we're being utterly foolish to not take this seriously. Clearly, you're right. Otherwise, you would change positions, because who doesn't want to be right, right? Now, what's of real, you say, well, what's my position? I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that what's of real and lasting importance here is the status of your heart. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. So we have to make real decisions in times like this. This is not theoretical for us. We have to decide what is the prudent thing to do and then go do it. But as we move through life making prudent decisions, we have to remain open in humility to God and others. At the very least, we can listen to people. We can tweak our own response. Even if we have a strong difference of opinion with somebody, we're going to be able to better our own position if we're open to people. So prudence, wisdom, and faith keeps both hands on the dial. And if you do that, you can be confident enough to listen to people. Because really, the inability to listen to someone else's viewpoint is a lack of confidence. If you have your hand on wisdom and faith, you can listen to people, you can learn from them, and not become defensive or offensive. Then you go make your decision. How are you going to live? You can do it without becoming defensive or grumpy or controlling. Instead of, hey, you ought to be doing this, or hey, you shouldn't be doing that, instead you can say, I hear you, but I'm going to do this, and I'm going to remain open to the possibility of being wrong. Okay, finally, Proverbs 22:3. The prudent person sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Now, you might remember that folly is a spectrum from the simple to the fool to the mocker. And the simple are just not fully formed. They're not wise, and yet they're not full-blown fools. The simple here just doesn't have enough wisdom, experience with life, and faith, experience with God, to recognize a dangerous path. The prudent person sees a danger that's embedded in situations right in front of them. They don't live in fear because they have prudence. They have faith and wisdom together. The dangerous situation looks harmless to the simple or the naive because they can't see the long-term effects of the short-term decision. And by dangerous, I don't mean failing to social distance. There are a lot more dangers than the possibility of illness. Right now, there's a danger of relational, spiritual, mental, and physical problems. And many people during this time might stay physically safe and be in grave spiritual, moral danger and not see it. And so the wise person sees the larger picture in the moment. That's why prudence, this component of wisdom, is one hand on faith and one hand on wisdom. And so how do we do this wisdom, faith, balance now and into the future? Okay, so school is closed. Businesses are closing. Society has never been quite like this. Lives are being turned upside down. But history, American history and international history, have always had these shaping times and events. Often they've been wars, like the Revolutionary War and the Civil War and the World Wars and the like. Sometimes they've been big events like the pandemic of 1918, the stock crash, 9/11. Sometimes there are more positive things that are tied to national problems, like the Great Awakening of 1740-ish and 1800 and 1860 and others. National events, just like personal events, shape us. It means we won't go back to who and what we were before. We're going to move into a new normal. Life will always be, for all of us, life after this virus and all that that entails. And we don't even know what it's going to entail yet. We're still in the middle of it. Just like life now is life after 9/11, and all the many things that were first strange are now normal. Some are good, some aren't so good, but now they're mostly normal. And our society and our world will change because of this, and how it's going to change is yet to be seen. We don't get to choose the things that change the world. We don't get to choose all the way the world will change. We get to choose how we will respond to how the world changes. So in a real sense, we get to choose how we're going to change. We're all going to have some new normal as a result of this particular event, but who God is and what God wants for us remains unchanged. So whether it's a pandemic, or maybe you have a personal injury or illness or loss, or a great awakening, national great awakening, or a personal awakening, His purposes for all of us remain fixed. He wants to use all things to conform us to the image of His Son. And so to maximize the opportunity embedded in this challenge, we have to resolutely keep one hand on faith and one hand on wisdom. And we're not going to get it right all the time. We won't make all good choices. We're going to differ in our opinions and approaches. But the outcomes for who we will become as a result of this will be much better if we strive to keep this balance of faith and wisdom, this prudence. So control what you can control. There's a lot of things right now people can't control. But you can decide, you really can decide to grow in faith and wisdom. You have a say in what your own personal new normal will be as a result of this time. So this is not ideal circumstances. I'm sitting in an old flowery looking chair and looking out. But this is the only place in the building we could find some ambient light. And it's not ideal, but it's okay, it's good. And your situation is not ideal, probably, but look for the good. And lean into what you can control. You can control who you're going to become as a result of this. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this building, for technology. Thank you even for failed electricity and the ability to trust you with small difficulties. I pray for health, physical health in our community, in our church, in our world. And I pray for spiritual health. And relational health and mental health, that we would have holistic health underneath your kingship. You are the King, Lord Jesus, and we pray in your name. Amen. Hopefully we'll see you next week and without a power failure. God bless.